Hey, this is Frank Todaro,
otherwise known as Starscream.
And you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Starscream here. And I am Lord and Master of all things Transformers. Don't tell Megatron.
This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to all things Transformers.
Like, I don't know what changed. I don't know if it's time. I don't know if it's the fact that movies today just suck.
Boy, am I glad I hit the record button.
Because, I mean, totally, dude, I don't know. Like, I don't understand why I didn't mind this one. I mean, other than Quintessa.
Yeah.
I loved the callbacks.
Yeah.
To the past four films.
Yeah. My only wish was, and maybe this is because we've seen Kingdom and what Kingdom did, but my only wish was for Nemesis to be a separate, like, you could still have Peter do the voice, but for it to, like, for something Optimus would have to fight, not something he, like, she brainwashed him. Don't do the brainwashing. Optimus is not a, well, he was a zombie 40 years ago at one point when they tried to, but no, don't brainwash him. Make it a separate evil villain again.
Yeah.
Megatron, like, okay, great. He's back to being Megatron. Fine. No Galvatron, whatever. Fine. But in the end, Megatron ends up helping them, doesn't he? Like, they all come together to stop Quintessa.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Like, I get it. You're trying to stop the... Oh, boy. Oh, I'm going to try to... I mean, most of our episodes on these are short, so... But I'm going to... Oh, my God. I just don't... I don't know.
It started as a legend. One of the greatest of all.
A thousand years we've kept it hidden.
To protect Earth from what was destined to arrive.
Optimus Prime, you destroyed your home. Do you seek redemption?
My maker, I do.
Your daughter, what would you say to her?
Brush your teeth, work hard. Stay away from any boy in a band, especially a drummer.
These are troubled times. Without leaders, chaos reigns. Two worlds colliding. You're all that stand in its way.
Now the greatest mission of them all, to turn the tide of human history.
Frank, stop! Can't do this!
The imminent destruction of everything we know and love begins.
I'm not leaving you!
When all seems lost, a few brave souls can save everything we've ever known.
The operation is over.
We're not giving up on Prime, okay?
I want to stay, and I want to fight them.
For my world to live. Yours must die.
Thank you.
This August, All Things Transformers will celebrate 15 years of being online. And now our full film reviews of the Transformers live-action films continue. This time around, we faced the Transformers Last Knights of Unicron. I'm Steve Megatron, and joining me on this Winter of Bayhem is TFG1 Mike.
Hello.
I made it in one take.
So did I, but I was surprised I made it at all.
Yeah, I mean, and there were a lot of good points and a lot of bad points, a lot of stuff that was just plot convenience to move things along, because mm-hmm. they kind of wrote themselves into a corner, like, mm-hmm. I don't know what to do, man, this is kind of, you know.
Yeah. So, The Last Knight, like I said in previous episodes on this podcast and in the other episodes of the Winter of Bayhem, I don't remember the first, like, I remember sort of the first 10 minutes of this, but as I was watching this, I was not going to do a Twitter thread for this movie like I did with Age of Extinction, like I did with Dark of the Moon, but I started one and I said, new thread, final thread, Transformers live action films. When The Last Knight came out, I only made it just past the first 10 minutes of it. Let's see if I can watch the whole thing. Second thing in the thing, I've made it past the first 10 minutes, and my statement before about never making it past the first 10 minutes, apparently I never made it past the first Arthurian, it was like the first 5 minutes, I could not get past the Arthurian legend battle. Thankfully
I can fast forward that.
Yeah, I understand that, but like, I'm an Arthurian.
It was kind of blah.
Yeah, but I'm an Arthurian guy. I'm somebody who likes the King Arthur legend. I'm someone who grew up watching Disney's Sword in the Stone.
Oh yeah, same here.
And other things to do with. So I like that. And the fact that when you first sent me this, when it was still in theaters years and years and years ago, somehow through the magic of the cybernetic space cube, you gave me a copy of the last. Like, I just stopped it as soon as I. Like, it wasn't doing anything for me back in 2017. Oh my god, it's been 6 years since this movie. And today, literally, I just finished this. As we're recording this, I finished it maybe about 2 hours ago. And I didn't get lost in the plot. Like, I didn't misunderstand the plot. I didn't get lost in the plot like I did a little bit with Age of Extinction. But at the same time, I felt myself watching the clock more with this movie than any of the others to this point. The other ones, I went back and I watched them, and I just watched them to re-experience the film. This movie, I was experiencing the film literally for the first time, but at the same time, I'm like, looking at my blank wrist with no watch on it, okay, the left freckle moves in the right-handed clockwise, whatever. Like, when's this going to be over? I was checking the timer on my Voodoo app all the time to see how much more of this do I have? And it has nothing to do with any of the characters. Like, this is probably the first film where I enjoyed 90% of the human characters. I can't believe I'm saying that, but yeah. I think the only thing that was missing from this was Epps.
Yeah, I would have liked Epps, and sadly enough, the way that this film kind of was a collage of actors from the previous four, it would have been nice to have Sam Witwicky in it.
I like the reference.
And I know that's a pull.
Yeah.
But I feel like there was too much. It was taking itself too seriously.
Yeah.
Throughout the film. It needed, between, you know, his kind of sarcastic antics and the information from, you know, of him, plus having Epps kind of going, oh no, not this crap again, you know. And he plays really well off of Josh Duhamel.
Yeah.
So
yeah, And that's funny you say that this was too serious, because we've been saying for the last we've said things about these movies that we never thought we would ever say, and I just find it hilarious that we've been, like, clamoring for no more Ice Cream Twins, no more stupid comedy, no more
And I think it's the stupid comedy I don't like in these films. Like, it's if I wanted 90s comedy, like Ace Ventura and things like that, I'd watch those. I don't really, it doesn't have a place in this, because you've got... You know, you got your basically G.I. Joe with different names in this every time.
Yeah.
You have your Transformers. You have, various other franchises kind of sprinkled in here. You got some Fast and the Furious. I mean, because there's a lot of car chases. I mean, they're showcasing a lot of stuff for Chevy and a lot of other car brands, you know, as it gets later in the series. I'm kind of torn. Like, it's... I think if there was less of the Fast and the Furious in it, or less, like, I don't know, some of the human interactions we get kind of feel like a waste of time.
And it's funny you say that, because this is the first film where I feel like, other than one moment, the dinner, the last meal under the sea was the first time I groaned at the humans. All the other, like, Cade isn't just there to protect his daughter from her boyfriend or whatever. You know, he's there to, you know, whatever. And I thought he and Lennox would come to be on the same side a lot faster than what they did, but I liked that they were eventually on the same side. And I was surprised that Lennox even showed up. Like, I was like,
I was too. And I forgot he was even in it. Like, I seriously was like, what is going on? Like, because, like, at the beginning, Merlin caught me, because I'm like, that's Stanley Tucci.
Yeah.
And he was in the last film.
Yeah.
And I feel like they were trying to figure out how to bring people back for this film without really bringing them back. And
then
we got, you know, Anthony Hopkins, and I was like, okay, cool. And then I find out he's the last Order of the Witwickens.
Yes, that
like,
was. Witwicky.
And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like. It's almost bad as the Transformanium or Transformerium in the last film. Like, the kind of laughed at these is terrible.
Yeah, I kind of laughed at the Witwickens, though, because it's a way of throwing that name, the Witwicky name, into the film without needing to have Sam or.
Well, and I want to say during the time of this film, he'd kind of gone nuts.
I think so, yeah.
And that's probably why they didn't have him back, and I'm sure they probably would have.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Anytime Anthony Hopkins shows up, it's awesome. And then, and then seeing Agent Simmons return.
Yes.
I was like, okay, he was absent the last movie, but then he's in this one, and I was like, okay, I'm kind of fine with that. Like, he's... More on a, you know, showing up for a consultant role.
Yeah.
Which I was completely fine with.
Yeah.
And then Santos, the Transformers Reaction Force, Santiago Cabrera, he actually is in season 1 and 2 of Star Trek Picard.
Oh, wow.
He plays Captain Rios.
Oh, interesting. Cool.
So when I saw him and I heard him talk at first before I saw him, I was like, oh, yep, it's Rios. So it was kind of funny. And then Morshauer, having him back was cool.
Yeah.
And then Lennox. Lennox was probably one of the best parts of the military aspects in the previous films. And then Morshauer kind of, even though he died in the first one, came back in the second and the third, kind of facilitates that, you know, base of operations guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I always liked him, and it's funny that they just named his character after the actor for some odd reason. I don't know why, but it is what it is. But I always liked Glenn Morshauer, and I was trying to remember and figure out where I had initially seen him from. Now, he's been acting since his first film was in 1976 in Drive-In. He was in Tango and Cash. He was in a bunch. He was in,
he was in 24.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm getting to. I'm in the middle of the movie stuff on Wikipedia. Yeah, he was in 24, but interesting. I do not remember this, but you probably will, Mr. Star Trek. He was the Enterprise B navigator in Generations in 1994.
And he had hair.
Yeah. That's yeah. And like you said, he was Aaron Pierce, the president's advisor, whatever the hell, in 24. And that's really where I first met him as an actor, was in that series on 24. So, but I like that guy. I like his style. I just like everything about him.
And then we had other callbacks to the previous films. We got Wheelie.
Mm-hmm. He's back.
Yep, we got, and then wasn't Cogman one of them? Or no?
He's new.
Okay. No, I was thinking Brains.
Brains. That's who I was thinking. Yeah, Brains is.
But yeah, I mean, it was kind of cool seeing a lot of the other ones come back. Then they had, you know, of course, Hot Rod. They have Cogman. They have Day Trader, which Steve Buscemi, just that was just funny.
yeah, it was.
Then you have Bulldog, Lieutenant, and then. You know, Trench and the Alliance Autobot.
Yes.
But, yeah, and then Megatron having only Barricade.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but Barricade looked so good.
He did, too. And I was kind of like, okay, this is neat. And then Megatron was in typical Megatron fashion, mm-hmm. which I liked. Mm-hmm. But all of his Decepticons were horrible.
Yeah,
like, I mean, and then he's like looking at Starscream's head, like, "Oh, okay, you know."
You were once so treacherous, or whatever it is that he says. And,
yeah. It's just and so I mean it was nice in some areas. They also tried to squeeze in some funny names with like Infernicus.
Yeah, I didn't
like
get
Inferno.
That. Yeah, I know. Ooh. I know, but like
I think they jumped the shark though when they started going back to Cybertron for the Quintessa thing for the Unicron. I think at that point it got too far fetched. Like I felt like they kind of pigeonholed themselves trying to fit themselves into this way of finding a new MacGuffin for each film.
Yeah.
Like the first one was the cube, the AllSpark.
Yeah.
The second one was the Matrix.
Yeah.
And then the third one was the planet transformer or transporter.
Yeah, the pylons and all that.
Yeah, the fourth one was, the bounty hunter.
Yeah.
And then this one, it's about, capturing Prime and, harvesting resources from Earth and bringing Unicron. So there really was nowhere else to go after this film.
Oh no. I mean, there's
once you bring in Unicron, that's kind of the end.
But they didn't technically bring him in because there was supposed to be another film, a third film for this part of the thing that never got made. They obviously rebooted because, the financial flop of losing $100 million. Oh, I'm sorry. We lost $100 million. We didn't. And look, yeah, I get it. As a movie, this movie, if you look at it as an action movie on a whole, the plot is, it's not all over the place, but it has so many things going on. Like, it's like you're on the bridge of the Enterprise and then you have seven hallways, A, B, C, basically the entire alphabet of ships kind of thing, but they're all like mishmashed together. And I don't know, like the dragon thing, whatever the dragon was, I don't remember if that was the Infernicons or whatever, but like that was weird to me. Like I remember the images and whatever else, the promo images of, it looks like Optimus Prime is fighting a dragon. Well, don't we all want to see Optimus Primal fight a dragon? Because, hello, I just watched this to be able to say that I could watch it. like I said, and like you said, I enjoyed certain things about it, but the most things I enjoyed out of this was some of the stuff that the humans did more than the robots did this time, which is weird because every other movie, what have we been saying? We like the robot stuff, we could do without the human stuff, which is what we've been saying for the last almost 40 years in Transformers. But the robot stuff in this was like, okay, it's there. I love the effects. I love the sound. I love the music. That's all great, fine, well, whatever. That's all excellent as always. But there was just way too much.
It was so little Transformers in it.
Yeah, it was.
They were an afterthought. They were like, let's shoot an action movie with world-ending stakes, and you know, not have the Transformers until the last minute.
Yeah, and I don't care if he likes the accent. Hot Rod is not French. Hot Rod should not sound like a Frenchman. I have nothing against French people at all, whatever, but that oh, God. It didn't ruin my childhood, but it was just bad.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of any of the new robots in this film.
Yeah, I liked, other than, okay,
like Anthony Hopkins' robot that kicked the fish and, the, you know.
Yeah, the butler robot.
Yeah, the butler robot. But I mean, but I mean, like, even that, like, I was like, okay, this is just ridiculous. And
okay, so the robots that I did like, I thought it was so funny, and I thought they were only going to use this time. I didn't realize they were going to have. They were still going to have Grimlock and Slug, the full size ones. But I love the mini Dinobots. I thought that was so cool because it's like, hey, here's your toys, kids. But they had more character in them. The mini Dinobots had more character in them than the big Dinobots did.
Mm-hmm. And it was cool that they brought, you know, Grimlock back. But I mean, he was just relegated to like, all right, puppy, get back to your, you know, like Dino from Flintstones. It's like they didn't know what to do with him. Yeah,
they didn't know what to do. And again, the reason why they didn't know what to do with them is because they're doing way too much. Like, yes, this does have a central plot line of Quintessa wanting to destroy Earth in order for Cybertron to live. That is a central plot. That is the central plot. But there's so much going on around that characters get lost and characters are just there to be there.
And then when they were going through the ship, you know, underwater, I felt like Rat Trap, you know, going through the Axelon trying to find Sentinel.
Yep.
I was like, okay, this is kind of cool and reminiscent of that. But so, I mean, on a whole, I didn't mind some of the things that were in the film. I loved the callbacks. I loved every time that they called back to the other films in the franchise. However, like you said, they were trying way too hard on not only the Transformers themselves, but on the human plot. Like, they were adding way too many things. Like, they were, you know, all of these explosions, all of these things happening, you know, like the military, the TRF agents in the submersible, you know, crashing into the side of the, you know, the sidewalls, just every little thing that they were adding in graphically and all of these things that they probably could have just skipped.
See, I don't understand why, and I'm trying to make sure that I figure this out. So TRF, is that for
Transformers Reaction Force?
Right. I understand that part of it. I'm not worried about the acronym. I'm trying to figure out, it is U.S. military. Okay.
Yeah.
See,
you had Sector 7, then you had, you know,
Sector
former 8. Nest personnel like Morshauer and Lennox.
Yeah.
And then Nest became, you know, kind of was shoved to the wayside because of Frasier. Having his top secret program, then Nest was shelved, you know, into the TRF, and
Okay.
While I don't mind it, I liked the Nest name better.
Yeah. Yeah, Nest
like,
is...
I mean, this definitely has more of a military look to it than Nest did, but I think Nest was just a better naming convention.
Yeah.
As far as... I mean, the logo in it was kind of lame, but I liked... Because Nest was non-biological extraterrestrial species treaty. So I get that they kind of broke the treaty, so that's why Nest doesn't exist. And
Yeah.
But,
and I get the whole... But my problem isn't with the name or the acronym or any of that. My problem was with you have the TRF, and then you have Lennox and Morshauer. And apparently Lennox is supposed to be undercover or just shadowing these. Like, the way it seemed to me, and I know I'm wrong in this now that I see that it was also a part of the U.S. military in the film, is that I thought TRF was separate from the U.S. military. Like, they were not saying they were French military or, you know, they obviously weren't MI6 because they mentioned MI6 was in this as well. So, like, I thought they were kind of – it's kind of like how you'd have, like, I don't know, a different unit separate from the U.S. stuff. And that's what I thought they were, that Lennox and Morshauer were kind of like, just lead them to where they need to be kind of sort of, but don't really. And that's why I thought that, oh, well, Cade and Lennox should come, you know, be heroes together sooner. But then you have this TRF stuff, which apparently he was a part of. He wasn't doing what the TRF was doing. He was trying to show them. But that TRF leader, man, he's like, yeah, they're all bad. Doesn't matter. And Lennox just turns to him, looks at him. He's like, no, they're not all bad. Like, there are some of the robots that are our friends, our allies or whatever. Like, I don't know. The whole, like, I think that's, like I mentioned last episode where I got confused with the overall plot of the fourth film. This one is where I got confused is where TRF even comes into play, because, you know, at the end of the day, Lennox wants to do the right thing. And the TRF leader dude, whatever his name is, didn't really care, like. You know, it just disjointed is what I would say is really what I would say about it. You know, I like this movie. I like, this is probably my favorite Megatron this is my favorite Megatron out of the two that Frank has voiced Megatron, because you can actually hear his Megatron, and it's kind of prime Megatron a little bit, which is fine.
And he changed his transformation, which was great. Like, he went back to his flight mode, you know, and then Megatron, of course, you know, getting, I would assume that he got his spark back.
Yeah.
By now, because he's not a lifeless void, and he's staying more. I noticed that their transformation is more modular now in how they transform.
Yep.
But then there's the I loved what they did to B. Like, they blew him up, and I'm like, this was straight out of the original Marvel comics.
Yeah.
They, like, where the G.I. Joe destroyed, like, blew up and obliterated Bumblebee.
And then he comes
back. And then they rebuilt him as Goldbug. But in this, like, he had the tech that you know, he was able to throw himself back together. And so I thought that was really neat. And then we have, you know, where Prime is flailing and ripping him apart. And then Bumblebee after the fight is like back to normal.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun.
The only creepy thing about this film was that, like, Cybertronian snake like thing that went on Cade.
Oh, yeah, his little wrist thing. Yeah, that was...
And it kept, like, cycling around his body, and then, like, they made a point out of showing it go down his shirt, down his pants, and, like...
Yeah, she even says, it just went down your pants.
Yeah.
And I think that was meant, and I could be wrong, I don't know what they were, whatever, in the writer's room or in the creator's, whatever, but I think that was meant to be, obviously, some sort of love joke scene, or... Well, not really a... But, like... they're
well,
on
that's
a
why the
ship
robot made
yeah,
them a dinner and
yeah,
whatnot.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, it's part of all that thing, and of course it's Mark freaking it's Dirk Diggler. I mean, come on, I half expected him to start singing The Touch, even though he doesn't. Like, you know.
But yeah, I mean, and then you know where he pumps it up at the end, and you know is they're about to kill Prime, and he's like, mm-hmm. no, you know, and then the mm-hmm. thing you know shoots out and becomes a sword.
So, I was wondering as I watched this film, what was going to like? They kept mentioning the talisman, and then I figured it out. I'm like, oh right. That's not because by the time that this was happening, by the time his whole the shirtless scene with him and her, I was like, oh, OK. And this thing keeps attaching to his wrist and whatever else. And then he gets the courage or the whatever and it turns into the sword Excalibur. So basically he is wielding King Arthur's sword. It's not just any sword. This is so I'm like, oh, OK, so that's how they got Excalibur from way back way in the. In the Arthurian days to present day. Okay, that kind of work. Because I was like, okay, talisman, what's it going to do? Like, other than, like, you know, attach to his arm or crawl over his body or, like, oh, that's, well, okay, that works. That kind of hit for me a little bit. Let's see. You know, you say there's too much Fast and the Furious here with all the cars, and I know you're, which is weird, you're from Michigan. You think you'd be a car guy, but you're not. Not really. I liked seeing the cars more than I liked seeing the robot. Like, those car scenes were cool. The car chases were cool to me because it had been a while since we've really seen a good Transformers car chase. Because I know they did some of it in the fourth film, but not enough. And I like that. Still, my favorite robot character in these last two movies, Hound steals the show.
Yeah, I mean Hound. I love John Goodman in this.
Yep.
He's just spectacular.
Yep. Yeah, he really is. Like as much as I love the original voice actor and the original characterization from Generation One, this is my Hound. This is who they need to get if they ever put Hound back in an animated series, is get John back on the mic for Hound, because, wow, so good. So good, so good. Was there anything in here that didn't like I know we like Quintessa isn't really like I really wish they would have like with all the you know we've mentioned on Twitter in the past between recording the last episode and this episode how bad the CGI was in the last couple of movies and I wish they would have done more with the Quintesson thing with Quintessa. I wish instead of making her and having her put Optimus under a spell, like I said before, I wish they would have done the Five Faces of Darkness. I wish they would have done something specific that would really, really rake us into, oh, this is Generation One. Not that we didn't already know it was Generation One, but you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Something more than just a bot hoe bag. Waiting for, you know, her.
I am Optimus Prime, and I am calling all Bot-Ho bags from the planet Cybertron. We are here. We are Ho bags.
Yes, yes. And I don't like the cliffhanger.
Mm-mm.
Because I know we're not going to get it. Like, I understand, but, like, I like... the fact that it's her disguised as a human, like, again, we mentioned back in where I'm probably going to, where was the Pretender? Was it in Revenge or Dark?
It was Revenge.
Revenge. Okay. Yeah. Like, I like Quintessa disguising herself as a human. I think that's cool. I think that's great. You know, and she's like, oh, don't touch his horn. He doesn't like that. You know, like
what, Unicron doesn't like his horn.
He doesn't like people touching his horn. So don't touch his horn, folks. It would have been interesting to see where that would have gone. And for me, this whole plot of Earth being Unicron was done much better in the Prime cartoon, because you actually had a voice of Unicron actor John Noble was the voice of Unicron in the Prime cartoon. And this whole thing of the Earth is really an evil planet, kind of like saying that all us humans are evil compared to the robots, but the robots do some really, really bad shit too, you know? I don't know.
Yo.
I know we're not going to get that now. We're going to get, you know, we got Bumblebee, which is technically its own thing, sort of, and all that. And we're getting Rise of the Beasts and whatever else. Just to kind of close it out, because I do want to go into some of the upcoming stuff. I do have the overall film franchise. I've got the next three, or the next two, and then the potential future. So last night, any final thoughts, and what would be your rating, sir?
Final thoughts, not as bad as I remember, but definitely not a Transformers film.
Yeah, now this one was very more military, which is, I guess, okay. Surprisingly, and it's not even directed by, well, it is directed by Michael Bay. It's his last one. Aha, that's why. This was his last one. He wanted to put as much military as he could in
Well,
this.
No, it was his last one because,
well, yeah.
It flopped.
True.
And people crapped on it so hard.
Yeah.
That he was like, yeah, I'm not doing another one of these.
Yeah. Rating for you, 0 to 5?
I'm going to give it a 2.5.
I'm going to give it a 2.
The callbacks were good enough for me, but which is the only reason it got the 0.5.
Yeah. The callbacks were good. And I liked a lot of the human stuff, but this, at the end of the day, there was too much. Yes, the plot, like I mentioned earlier, and I know, folks, I repeat myself a lot. Like I mentioned earlier, the plot did go from A to B to C to whatever. However, everything surrounding the plot was overstimulation. So 2 and 2.5 out of 5, you guys can click on the GCR Universal Rating System link in the show notes to see what all that means. And yeah, I think we're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff. We'll come back with the future of the franchise right after this.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toy Box Soapbox, 6-0 and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
We are Two Mics, Two Furious, a podcast where we watch every episode of Transformers Animated and discuss from two different points of view. I'm Mike Seibert, and I've never watched Transformers Animated before, and guiding me on this journey is author Michael Andrews.
Hello! Yes, longtime Transformers Animated fan, serial rewatcher. I've seen it plenty of times.
So if you've never watched Transformers Animated but always wanted a reason to, now's your chance. Likewise, if you've binged the series several times, it's a great reason to watch through again with us. Because regardless, if you're a seasoned vet or a newbie, there's something for every fan. Because I ask questions.
Why is Prowl such a dick?
So that he can be not a dick later, I think is the answer.
Subscribe to Two Mics, Two Furious on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode.
Are we coming off furious enough? I feel like we're not living up to the... Are we supposed to be, like, more angry, more fired up? We're really in a good mood. We really enjoy talking to each other.
I will choose this fighter jet.
No! The assault tank!
Jet.
Tank!
To jet.
Tank!
Jet.
Tank!
Why not scan both?
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website, and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast from the universe and beyond.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
All right, we're back here on All Things Transformers. So, Rise of the Beasts is coming this June 9th, 2023. Looks okay-ish, I guess. I don't know. Like, the trailers, they are kind of getting me excited, but I still don't know, like, what the overall is for this one. So I guess I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see, you know, Optimus Primal and all that, and see what happens to and of course with this movie, which, wow, that's crazy, we have three non-speaking roles for Rise of the Beasts. Bumblebee's back to a non-speaking Autobot scout.
Why?
So no,
why?
I don't know.
That's so stupid.
Yeah.
Make, like, the Autobot talk.
Yeah, exactly. And then Cheetor has no, like, he's non-speaking. And then Freezer, who's a Terracon, who transforms into weapon artillery for Scourge and his fellow Terracons. Okay, so Freezer doesn't technically need a voice, but Cheetor and Bumblebee. Dan Gilvezan and James Corlett. How hard would that be?
Hey, everybody. This is Dan Gilvezan, voice of G1 Bumblebee, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
Be sure to check out All Things Transformers with Steve Megatron and TFG1 Mike.
And, you know, I'm kind of glad that David Soboloff gets to come back as Rhinox, even though that wasn't his original voice in Beast Wars. And he also voices Battletrap in Rise of the Beasts. But, yeah, I don't know. I just, and I know Ron Perlman played Primal before, but.
No, I'm just playing. No, not that I have a problem with him.
It's not him. It's the people casting the role, which they're like, it's like Gary Chalk and Stan Bush should start a club. So we got Rise of the Beasts coming this year, and then later, which is weird. And I know this will be the new animated movie, but in 2024 we have a new generation. This is going to be directed by Josh Cooley. It's an animated prequel film, so yay, it's going to be animated. Explore the relationship between Optimus Prime and Megatron, separate and apart from what has been portrayed in the live-action films.
I'm, like, almost scared.
Yeah, me too. And then the future is supposedly Rise of the Beast sequels, and then this is what it was. Okay, so originally the untitled Transformers Last Night sequel was supposed to be June 28th of 2019, but because it, you know, whatever. But according to D. Bonaventura, he did confirm that another film referred to as Transformers 7 is still in development. Of course, that was as of March of 2021, which I assume they've been marketing Rise of the Beasts as Transformers 7. So I assume the Last Night sequel thing is kind of done. Obviously, since they're, because Rise of the Beasts, like, the way that I've read this online is Bumblebee is kind of its own thing, but this first Rise of the Beasts is the first in a new line of films. So we'll see what happens. I'm excited to see Rise of the Beasts, just to see it. I like the different people that are doing the stuff. Like, I liked Travis Knight doing Bumblebee. I like the fact that Steven, what's his name, is doing Rise of the Beasts. So who knows? I guess we will see. Anything else you want to bring up? Anything? This will kind of be, we're not going to do another All Things Transformers, folks, for a little bit, but as of this recording, Steve Megatron is going somewhere for the next 10 days or so. Any final thoughts? Anything you want to say to the people, or just whatever you want to say?
No, just excited to see what we're going to talk about next, and you know, of course, whether the next Transformers film is going to suck or not. We shall see.
Yes, it may suck, but at least it won't zuck. With a Z, Zuck, get it? Zuck, Zuck, Zuck.
Zuckerberg.
Oh, boy. yeah, so let me ask you this. Last night, would you rather watch that again, or would you rather watch BotBots again?
Oh, this in a heartbeat.
What? Oh, come on.
I absolutely loathe BotBots.
It's okay, folks. I've got a couple people that are going to come on for a BotBots episode that Steve doesn't have to be a part of, since he loathes that. I like BotBots. BotBots is so fun. We are going to cover the Cyberverse movies coming up. They're on Netflix now. Season 4's. There were two Season 4 movies. One had to do with the Immobilizer. The other one had to do with something. Tarn, I think, shows up or whatever kind of thing. So that'll be cool. Yeah, and who knows? We're going to be doing all kinds of stuff here at All Things Transformers. So thank you for joining us. If you'd like to leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on all the podcatching clients that are out there, like Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, etc., etc. You can follow us on Twitter at geekcastradio for the network, at all things TFV3 for the show. I am at TFG1 Mike. What is your Twitter?
It is SCP21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadio Network. We can also check out All Things Transformers over there as well. Join us next time as we'll be discussing something we actually enjoy. That's what's written in the script, folks. I don't know who wrote that, but yeah. For now, TFG and Mike with
Steve Megatron.
We hope you'll transform and transcend with us as we talk about all things Transformers, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. Catch you later, folks. No parting words of wisdom, Megatron.
No.
Shields are doing a major fade! Hey, look at me! I'm a cheetah! No, I'm Cheetor!
Interesting.
Interesting? Optimus, the word is spot on smooth. It's a crime. Hey, I wonder what these gizmos are for.
It's time to shred some bread.
What do you say we give these new bots a test drive?
I am transformed.
Yes.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.